those of you who need to be seated at some point, maybe, but we traditionally stand. And the readings are in your book, and I didn't look up that that page.
Page 92.
There you go. So you'll be able to do the responses. You will be the crowd. Okay. Everybody good?
Okay. Should I start?
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after the other,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It'd be better for that one if he'd never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you, new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I've been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing for a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it's not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, "Your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you've come for."
Then, stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legion of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servant to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it.'"
The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply,
"He deserves to die."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy for us, God. Who is this that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus of Galilee."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are one of them."
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately, a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all of the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned in betraying innocent blood.
They said,
What is that to us? Look to it yourself.
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood.
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field, as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the field of blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
You say so.
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called the Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said,
Let him be crucified.
But he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
Let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took the water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people replied,
His blood be upon us and upon our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads, saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from that cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him."
But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised up.' Give orders then that the grave be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him and say to the people, he has been raised from the dead. This last imposture would be worse than the first.
Pilate said to them,
the guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can.
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard.
The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Suffering accepted is not punishment, but transformation. Suffering accepted is not punishment, but transformation. As we've been working through this Lenten journey of the heart, we've been looking at not hardening our hearts, but letting them be stirred and stretched and changed. So when you look at that banner, that's the heart of flesh, not the heart of stone. And that's been our prayer together, is that our hearts would be softened and transformed and changed. We can't turn away from suffering, our own or the world's. We have to open our hearts to be touched and changed and led into love made visible. When we began this journey in the wilderness, the desert, we were listening for a whisper of God. Jesus was listening not for the devil's voice, but for the word of God. Not for the voice of power, but for the voice of submission. Not for the voice that says, prove yourself, but the voice that says, kneel. When we listened to the Transfiguration, we were listening to the voice of the Beloved, saying, you are the Beloved of God. Listen to him. We do not travel alone. We travel together. When you look at each other, when you come into community, people are hurting, and we know many who are hurting. And we say to them, you're not alone. And we invite them, each of us, to be vulnerable too, and to say when we're hurting, and to let other people be present to us. That's not the way of the world. The way of the world does not look into eyes that are suffering. The way of the world walks past them. The way of the world does not say, I need your support. It acts like everything's all good. We need community for suffering to be transformational. When we listen to the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus didn't avoid her. A stranger, a woman. He was present to her and her to him. And that caused her suffering to be transformed. when Jesus went up to the blind person who was ignored all the time and reached out and anointed him with his saliva and soil, he touched him and he was healed. In this community, we touch each other and hold each other and are present to one another in pain. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, when Jesus called him forth, it took people, community, to unwrap all those linens that had kept him bound. We need each other to unbind us. We need each other when we weep. We are community. So today we have listened to this story of nonviolence. Jesus did not resist. Think how the story would have been different if Jesus had resisted and called forth the powers of heaven and all the people to raise up. All we would have had was bloodshed. Nothing would have changed. And so today we celebrate that non-resistance, that being present to one another. I was thinking of the Stations of the Cross, and as you go around them all, the minutes, many times that Jesus was not alone. Fourth station, he meets his mother. Fifth station, Simon comes to help him with the cross, willingly or not. Sixth station, Veronica wipes his face. Eighth station, the women surround him. The ninth and tenth station, Jesus dies with people standing at the foot of the cross. Mary takes him down from the cross and holds him. There are people vigiling at the tomb. One of the things I love about these Stations of the Cross is people who have gone before Jesus being in the tomb with him. And Mary Magdalene finding him after the resurrection. We are community. We are transformed by suffering when we accept it and we love more. When we love the person we're journeying with, I know many of you have walked with people who are suffering greatly, unto death even. And your hearts and your beings are transformed by the love that comes forth from you. And when you receive that love, when you are the person suffering, you are transformed as well. So I know there have been a lot of words, and I just want you to ponder. Of all these visual symbols, what speaks to you today? Perhaps the daffodils, sign of hope. I have to make the oils shine. So as we continue with Mass, let your heart be broken. Let the suffering be a sign of transformation for you. And be easy on yourself. Let people love you as you love them.